more youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. And yourself?
I am Jim Dandy.
You're Jim Dandy? What in the world does that mean?
I don't know.
Is that like an old-timey, old folksy thing to say?
I guess so. I don't know. I think that's a thing.
I mean, I say dandy because no young person says dandy, but Jim Dandy?
Is Jim Dandy
a person?
I don't know.
It's
really hard to know who Jim Dandy is.
James Dandy?
I don't know.
Mr. James Dandy.
Where does Jim Dandy come from? James. James Jim Dandy. The American English term Jim Dandy for an outstanding person or thing.
So
when I say I'm Jim Dandy, I am saying I'm an outstanding person.
Or a thing.
I'm not a thing, Jaquel. I am a person.
That's true.
What's up, girl?
I won't deny that. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
No, don't give me that. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. What's going on?
Well,
our listeners need to know.
The sun is shining.
Yes.
The sky is blue.
How are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you're feeling good about life.
Feeling good about life. I'm wearing my watch today. My black watch.
You got a watch on?
Yeah. Do you like this watch?
Wow. You know, I'm really noticing. I really do that all the time.
What?
What is going on with that?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a weird looking watch. It almost looks like a smartwatch.
No, really?
Yeah,
it's
but
just it's like a plain black watch.
It's in fact a dumb watch.
It is.
All it does is tell the time.
Yeah, it's
true. What is that all about? A watch that just tells the time?
You know what? I like to use it to sharpen my mental faculties.
What?
Because it's so easy. Everything is so digital. All we have to do is look at the numbers. But this, I have to look at the hands, the little hand, the big hand, and think to myself, what do these mean? Especially since there's not numbers on the watch. There's just four little dots at each of the four points my watch. So just sharpening those mental faculties.
Okay, so back to the smartwatch thing, because you know me and tech. I love the tech. So a few things I have issues with concerning the smartwatch. Because nowadays, we call it a smartwatch, and it doesn't even tell the time. Like, you have to press a button before it shows the time. Otherwise, you just, you know, you got to keep it on always off.
That seems so counterintuitive.
Mode. I know. I keep it at always on, but then it kills the battery really quick. Second thing, checking out the Samsung Gear Watch because it looks pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got this new feature that if you put on a face on it that it is a analog face, you know, because you can put different kind of watch faces, which is why I love smartwatches.
Right.
Because I'm a man of variety.
Okay.
And if you put one with that, it's got an option where you can make it make a ticking sound.
Whoa. Okay, you know what I think is an interesting phenomenon? And I think we were talking about this with the Polaroid camera, too.
The Polaroid.
We are at this stage in our society where it's like technology has advanced so much and so rapidly that now we are using technology to feel and create things that are like regressed technology. So we're spending like $100 on an Instax camera so we can take a picture and have this Polaroid that looks like it was from the 90s or something.
I know. It is crazy. I saw an app the other day that takes video, but it makes the video look like it was a video camera from the 80s.
Yeah, well, it's a super popular Instagram filter right now that there's this, you can make it look like you're in this like old-time tiny video, and it's just like, whoa,
it is a crazy thing. Like, why is everything, why do we want to, that is nuts. We're using technology to regress. It's like the smartwatch that makes the ticking sound.
Exactly.
Why not just wear an actual watch?
I don't know.
It's crazy. I guess because an actual watch can't like take your heart, can't take your pulse, it can't track your steps. By the way,
yes.
Met my step goal yesterday.
Good
Boom.
Job. You were doing many laps around the house, so I'm glad to hear that.
You gotta do what you gotta do, right?
So true.
And where was I? Oh, yeah, it can count your steps. It can play music if you got a Samsung watch, which I have. What else can it do? It can do all sorts of
things. Yeah, you know what?
I'm good.
I'm good with my dumb watch. Thank you.
Yeah, well, dumb watch for dumb person.
Wow,
I'm
that was so
I'm
savage.
Just,
I can't believe
saying.
You.
I'm just saying.
My heart is broken.
Smart
now.
Watch for smart person.
Wow, yeah. Bubs, you are not being very friendly to me.
I should have just left it at that. You're not upset with me, are you? Like, we're still friends, right?
I'm not easily offended, I guess not.
Do you be friends with your parents? Like what's that whole thing? Like, you don't want to be your kid's friend. You got to be their parent, right? But now we're like, I'm not your parent. I don't parent you whatsoever. I'm not like,
you have no influence in my life.
None whatsoever. No, but you know. Like, well, like now we're friends, right?
Are we? Just called me dumb.
But I got no problem with that. I got lots of dumb friends.
Wow. Well, you can be my friend. I just won't be your friend.
Okay.
Well, I think there is something to relationships changing. Yeah. And, I mean, we're probably going to talk about that more in future episodes, but...
No, I refuse to talk about that. But your parents are your friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of friendship. I mean, your parents are not ultimately friends.
Or is that a different category?
Well, Steve would say it is.
Inside joke. All right. Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
What? No, please.
No, carry on.
Please.
Carry on this thought.
I really had no thought. I just decided I wanted to talk. So.
I just want to play that music again. No. It's so good.
So today, we are talking about friendship. Oh, that was nice. That was a very friendly thing to do. Yeah, and we mentioned this in a previous episode, but friendship, that's something that young people deal with. You know, every person deals with. Why did I say deals with friendship? You don't deal with friendship.
Yeah, sure you do.
I mean, you...
I don't know.
You have friendships, you interact with friends, but this is a very formative age in life, us young people, and so the people that we spend time with have a massive influence on us, so we thought it would probably be helpful to talk about what makes a good friend, what makes a not as good friend.
What the other thing too is, like, do people even think about friendship? This is what I'm thinking, like, you just, it's one of those things, like, some people want to have friends. Some people aren't that concerned about friends.
Yeah, some people have a lot more friends than others.
Yeah, some have lots of friends. Some don't have very many friends at all. But I wonder, do people actually think about friendship and what makes a good friend? Because if you want friends, then if you're at a big school, then it's up to you to decide who your friends are going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's something that's grossly I'm thinking of all these words, like, it's minimized, it's not considered, like, people don't stop and think, wow, I've got to be careful about how I choose my friends. Mm-hmm. Because how you choose your friends or the friends you end up having can make a huge difference.
Yeah, because so often we just think of it as a result of our circumstances. And so it's just like, we have the friends we have just because they're around us, because we have similar interests. And we don't think of, you know, where the Bible commands us to choose friends wisely, and that the people that we spend time with do have a massive influence on us.
Yeah, or the fact that some people are good friends and some people are bad friends. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to address this super, super easily. We have a very, very basic outline for our conversation today. We're going to talk about what a friend is and what a friend is not.
Yeah.
And then we'll maybe wrap it up by talking some about how to restore a friendship.
Yeah.
When there's been a rift.
Because that's something, man, I've interacted with a fair amount of young people over the last 2 years, and fractured friendships are actually pretty common. So I think that's important to touch on.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing, as we get into this conversation about what a good friend is, I think it's important to first recognize that good friends are rare.
So true.
Like, it is hard to find a good friend. And I mean, like, you can find lots of friends. And I always think when somebody has lots of friends, I always wonder, because it's like, it's like, okay, you have lots. I mean, you look on somebody's Facebook page and they have 8 billion friends, right? And you wonder, well, you know, but are they all really good friends? Or are they all just like acquaintances? Or
no, I mean, I'm not like best friends with all the people on that I'm friends with on Facebook.
Yeah, but you're all like famous and stuff, and you got a bunch of people you don't even know following you.
Hey, I wasn't the first person.
Anyway,
to
Proverbs
start
20
friend
verse
Proverbs. I didn't know
Proverbs.
In real life.
Jekyll, Proverbs 20
still
verse 6.
About that.
Okay, Proverbs 20 verse 6.
What does Proverbs 20
Bring
verse
it down,
6
girl.
Say?
It says, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find." So the point is that everybody thinks they're a good friend, but they ain't.
Yeah.
Sorry, Grammy. She hates that bad English. They ain't. They just ain't.
They ain't.
They are not, Jekyll. They aren't. So some points concerning what a good friend is. Number one, Jekyll.
A friend is someone who loves you regardless of circumstances, which I think is a very key place to start, because circumstances can change a lot in your life, so you can move. You know, your social status could fail.
Your financial status.
Your financial status. All of these. Hey, I was watching a SpongeBob last night. Yeah. And, you know, this was a very cautionary tale. SpongeBob, he came across quite a bit of money This was as I was falling asleep. He came across quite a bit of money, so I could have the details a little fuzzy. And suddenly, he had tons of friends. But guess what? When he spent all his money, all of his friends left. And he had scorned his true friend, Patrick Starr, and had to go and ask forgiveness of him. Because when his circumstances changed, he had one friend who was still his true friend, Patrick Starr.
Okay, despite everything that Jaquel just said, back up just a little bit. You were watching SpongeBob?
Yeah, it's good to fall asleep too when you can't sleep.
You're watching SpongeBob before. You are 21 years old.
Yeah.
You're watching SpongeBob.
That's true.
Hey, weren't you and Joe trying to come up with a cartoon to watch the other night? Why didn't you watch SpongeBob?
I totally forgot.
I think
forgot.
Joe would hate SpongeBob.
He has watched SpongeBob before, and are he's not a huge fan.
Yeah, I can't see him being a huge fan. He'd be like, it's a sponge. Why is he wearing shorts? Sponges don't wear shorts.
Yeah. Which, so, to be fair, is a good point.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so Jaquel's watching SpongeBob and something
and
about...
I learned a valuable lesson about how SpongeBob learned that a true friend is someone who loves you regardless of your circumstances, whether you're rich or poor.
Did I ever tell you about Tyler, a friend from my long, long past?
I don't know.
Did I ever tell you about Tyler? I forget his last name. It's coming
well,
to me.
Well, we need to owe him on the podcast.
I want
right
to say
now.
It starts with B, but anyway.
Tyler B.
I had this friend named Tyler. Well, he wasn't really a friend. See, this illustrates this. I was very young. Like, this got to be over between 3 and 4 decades ago. And all of a sudden, Tyler became my friend because he had an Atari. I never liked hanging out with Tyler, but I liked hanging out with Tyler's Atari.
You know what? I can relate to that. Even that it's like certain friends. I can think of some friends in Texas that it's like, no, we weren't actually super great friends with them. But remember those people that got the trampoline down the street from us? And then it was like, oh my goodness, everybody in the neighborhood was best friends with them because of the trampoline.
So you're friends with them and then they lose the trampoline and you're not friends so
exactly.
much.
Exactly. So I'm the great friend in that situation.
Or you're in Texas and you're friends with somebody who has a pool, but then when it's raining, you're not so much friends
exactly.
with them. Or, I mean, obviously more serious things. You know, somebody's going through a specific difficult circumstance in life, and they need a lot of extra time, and they need help, and they need counsel, and they need encouragement and compassion and stuff that just takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, ugh, it's so hard to be a friend to them.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is that there are some people that are just harder to be friends to than other people.
Yeah.
And there's circumstances in which it's harder to be a friend.
Yeah.
But a true friend is someone who loves you and is a friend for you and is there for you regardless of whatever is going on.
Yeah. So, and I think really quickly, I do think it's important to mention that there will be different levels of friendship you have with people. So we are not saying that you need to be like that kind of friend to every single person in your life. You know, it's okay to have acquaintances, to not be close friends with everybody. But when it comes to looking for the right kind of friend and being the right kind of friend to the right kind of people, then these are kind of the points we're focusing on.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I mean, I think what opened with is that, you know, of all your friends of differing levels, there's only going to be a very few that you're close friends
yeah.
with. Yeah. But still, I mean, even you know, all your friends, you want to attempt to love them in the same way, maybe
yeah.
not to the same degree,
mm.
right? So definitely in the same way. So a friend is someone who loves you regardless of circumstance. A friend is someone who is honest with you, even when it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is important. You know, there's no doubt in scripture we're called to speak the truth, but we're called to speak the truth in love.
Right.
And we all know someone who comes up to you and says, there's something I just have to say to you because
mm-hmm.
you're my friend. You know, I hate that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's like, I immediately stop thinking, do you have to say it?
Yeah.
Is it for my sake or do you have to say it for your own sake?
Right.
Because you just got to get it off your chest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that a friend is someone who is honest with you, but is honest with you in a loving way.
Yes, it's true. And for my people-pleasing heart, this is difficult,
yeah.
especially being the one who has to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think this is where it's important to recognize that it is an unloving thing to not be honest with your friend if you think something is hurting them or harming them or, you know, you see sin in their life that is weighing on them. The loving thing to do is to be totally honest.
Well, why would you not be honest with your friend?
Because it affects me.
Exactly.
Because it will change how they think about me.
Exactly. Or it's just uncomfortable. Yeah. Or it's
which again,
awkward.
It's all about me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's how I feel.
It's all about you. It's almost as though you have a pride problem.
Almost.
Boy, we should talk about humility
we
sometime.
We should, maybe.
It just so happens, next episode, humility.
Whoa, teaser.
Stay tuned. Okay, so a friend is someone who loves you, regardless of circumstances, someone who is honest with you, someone who gives you wise counsel, like somebody who is looking out for your good, somebody who's not going to lead you into less than positive circumstances, which is a very common thing in your teen years. You will have friends who will be thinking first about fun, not thinking first about what is best for themselves or about you. So,
ooh, you missed a golden opportunity there. Thinking first about fun instead of first about faithfulness.
Yeah, or about friendship.
Oh, yeah.
All that alliteration.
Jaquel,
I don't alliterate everything. Come
but
on.
Sometimes when you have the opportunity, you just got to take it.
Okay. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says this: oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Right? Isn't it? The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. So if you want to be a good friend to your friends, seek to give them wise counsel. Seek to do what you do and say what you say in their lives to contribute to them becoming a better Christ follower.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something I think we should maybe chat about briefly. Does that mean that you can't have non-Christian friends?
Well, not the same kind of friends.
Yeah.
Like, it just can't be. I mean, you can most definitely have non-Christian friends. And you can, all of these things we're talking about today, you can apply in a relationship with any kind of friend.
Mm.
But a friend with a friend between a believer and an unbeliever, a Christian and a non-Christian, whatever, I hate the terms. Like,
yeah.
There's just no good terms. But the relationship between somebody who, let's put it this way, okay? The relationship between somebody who follows Christ and somebody who doesn't follow Christ is going to be drastically different from the relationship between two followers of Christ, because you're going completely two different directions.
Exactly.
It's a whole nother conversation how to be a friend to an unbeliever, but all of these things can still apply.
I think if the core of our identity is fundamentally different, yes, we can't have the kind of like heart deep friendship that we would have with another Christ follower. But we certainly can have a different kind of a friendship of ministry towards non-Christians.
Yeah, and this is exactly why the scriptures forbid the marrying of a Christ follower to a one who does not follow Christ. It just can't, you know, what fellowship do the two have? Now, again, you can be friends, but you can't have the same kind of friendship.
Yeah, and you do need to be careful, because the influence that a friend has on you is very subtle and is often hard for you to actually determine, because you're so in the situation. So if all of your best friends are non-Christians, you know, even if they're super nice people, they have a radically different worldview than you. So you should be very aware of that. And I think you should be pursuing the closest friendships with people who share your faith.
Yeah. Because, I mean, just imagine how things are going to be, like what that relationship is going to be like, because everything you do is going to be out of service to Christ. And so the decisions you make about the things you want to do and how you want to spend your time and how you want to spend your money and the words that you speak and all of these things, that they're all in service to Christ. Whereas somebody who's not following Christ is just doing exactly what they want to do. So there's going to be clash. And again, we don't at all want to encourage you not to be friends.
No.
With those who do not follow Christ. But the reality is that you need to look at that relationship in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And nevertheless, you still want to love them regardless of circumstances. You want to be honest with them, and you want to seek to give them wise counsel. You want to point, I mean, anybody you're friends with, whether they're following Christ or not, you want to point them towards Christ.
Yeah.
And so then that brings us to the fourth thing. The last thing about a friend is, a friend is someone who keeps his or her word, a person who can be trusted.
Mm.
I mean, this is really what it comes down to. I mean, we've all had a friend who has not been trustworthy.
Yeah.
You know, says they're going to do something, says they're going to be somewhere, says they're going to be there for you, and then things get tough and they're gone.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, without your word, what do you have?
Yeah.
Right? So a friend is someone who keeps his word, and someone who can be trusted. In Psalm 15, verse 1 through 4, it's talking about a righteous man. And it's one who walks blamelessly, does what is right, speaks truth in his heart, does not slander in his tongue, does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. One who honors the Lord, who fears the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. So a friend is someone who keeps his or her word, a person who can be trusted.
Yeah, a person who has integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, like, that's what a good friend is. That's what you want to be looking for in a friend. And that's what you want to be. That's what you want to be.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about these close friendships, these friendships that are rare. Now, Jaquel, like, let's just talk about, why is it so important that we choose our friends carefully?
Well, I think the biggest thing is something that we've already mentioned multiple times, and it's that friends have a humongous influence on you. And I think for young people, especially, besides parents, or maybe sometimes even competing with parents, friends are the biggest influence on your life. You know, right now is the time when we are determining, you know, what kind of life we want to live, how we want to act. We're trying to pave our own path as our own people. And the people that we spend the most of our time with, who are speaking into our lives, who are giving us advice, who are encouraging us to do things and say things and be like them, they are going to affect the kind of people we become.
Yeah. So we did talk about already about the fact that they do influence you. But I mean, it's bigger than that. They literally could alter the course of your life.
Yeah.
In Proverbs 12:26, it says, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So if you, now, maybe your friend is, you know, your friend choices are not to that degree where you're choosing friends that are just flat out wicked as opposed to those who are righteous. But, whoa, that was, probably nobody even heard that, but there was a spring on our mic stand that it went like this. Except not to that degree.
Right.
Anyway, back to what I was saying, very important, is that the friends you choose could alter the course of your life.
Yeah.
And so you need to be very careful about the friends you choose. Now, that leads to a second question. Like, how do you choose friends? Mm-hmm. Like, just the act itself, how is it that you choose friends? Like, what do you, say you're at school and you show up for first day of class and you go into a classroom, like, how do you choose the friends?
I think at the most basic level, and there's nothing wrong with this, you look for people that you have connections with. So C.S. Lewis always talks about, or not always, I don't know if he talked about this all the time. C.S. Lewis just talked about at one point that people become friends when they see some mutual interest and go, oh, you too? I thought it was only me. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with the very first connection you're making with someone, whether it's just that you're both friendly, whether it's that you both strike up a conversation, whether it's that, oh, they have an Atari and you have an Atari.
Do you know what an Atari is?
It's some old video game thing, like the first video game on the planet so back from the 1800s
something. No, that was Pong.
Oh,
which I had Pong, but okay, I didn't have an Atari. No, Pong.
Okay.
No, yeah, Google it. Okay, so I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think there's another way to look at it too, and that's that you just get to know people.
Yeah.
Like, you just gotta throw yourself out there. Like, so a lot of people have a hard time making friends, mm-hmm. and choosing friends, or I guess not choosing friends, but a lot of people have a hard time making friends. Well, you got to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
If you're just going to sit in the corner and not talk to anybody, you're not going to get to know any friends. So the only way you're going to be able to choose friends is to get to know people.
You have to take the initiative.
Yeah. But then, you know, once you get to know people, you've got to know what a good friend is, which we've tried to help you discern what a good friend is. And you've got to be on guard against people who might not be that great of friends, which leads to the next thing we want to talk about, which is what a friend is not. How do you discern whether a person is a good friend or a bad friend? Well, we've already talked about what a good friend is, but what is a bad friend, or what is someone who is not a friend?
Yeah, and this is someone, really, we're talking about character here, but these are important things to look for in a friend, in a future spouse, all of these things. And the very first thing I would say is a friend is not someone who is easily offended or unwilling to forgive. And this is very important because there is always some sort of like conflict or disagreement that will come up in a friendship, in a relationship. And if you have someone who gets offended all of the time, or if you are constantly getting offended and refusing to forgive, then that friendship is going to combust. It's not going to be good.
What does it say about you if you're easily offended?
I think it's a sign of pride.
Oh, man, yeah. We should really do an episode on humility,
Jaquel. We really desperately need to do that.
Man, we got to cue that up. Cue it up?
Cue it up.
Yeah, well, it's already cued, right? We have cued. But that really is it. And I don't think that we often recognize that. Mm-hmm. Like, we often think, oh, you know, so you do something that shouldn't offend somebody and they get offended.
Yeah.
Now, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel bad.
Right.
It makes you think, what have I done wrong? When in fact, the problem is with the person. They shouldn't be offended by such a thing. And furthermore, like, sometimes we get offended, but do we have to respond by taking offense?
No.
Right? So in Proverbs, where am I here? Proverbs 17, verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really do have to be careful about not being easily offended. It's connected to an unwillingness to forgive, which is connected to pride.
Yeah. Or if we are offended, recognizing that the problem very well may be with ourselves and privately repenting of that and never bringing it up. Like, your friend doesn't have to know about that and being able to work on that in your own life.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to what a friend is not, the first thing, it's not someone who's easily offended or unwilling to forgive. Now, again, you can be a friend to people like this, but, you know, you've got to realize that friendship goes both ways.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to have a friendship, both individuals in that relationship are going to have to be seeking out the things we said concerning what a friend is, and they're going to have to be working on the things concerning what a friend is not.
Yeah.
If the friendship is going to be as strong as it can be.
Totally.
So the second thing I would say is that a friend is not someone who puts other people down, not somebody who slanders other people. Because have you ever been in a situation where somebody's talking to you and they're telling you something about somebody else? They're slandering somebody else, and they shouldn't be. And it's probably our place in that situation to say, look, you shouldn't be saying this to me.
Yeah.
But do you ever not stop and think, if they're saying this to me about somebody else, what are they saying about me in other circumstances?
Yeah, it's true. And that just shows, like, it just betrays the most basic facet of who a friend is. Like, a friend is someone that you should be able to trust, like someone that you can have confidence in. And if this friend is constantly putting others down, then that just, like, it goes against what the fundamental of being a friend is.
Yeah. Proverbs 11 verse 12, it says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. Now, and maybe you've clued in that we're quoting from a lot of Proverbs here this morning. It's morning here.
Yeah.
But people might not be listening in the morning. It
morning,
could be evening.
Afternoon, night.
Yeah, but it's morning where we are when we're recording. And I totally lost track of what I was saying.
Proverbs 11, we're quoting a lot of Proverbs here.
Yeah, we're quoting a lot of Proverbs here because, I mean, in the Proverbs, we find so much wisdom, so much practical application for life. And in particular, when it comes to, you know, relationships and friendships.
There's a ton of advice in the Proverbs about friendship.
Yeah, there really is. So a friend, it doesn't always put others down. And furthermore, a friend doesn't always have to be right.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a problem.
It's a little bit of a toughie.
It's a thing that we've worked on in this house. Mm-hmm. I've worked on.
Yeah, have I've
you,
worked
have
on
you worked
it.
On
yeah,
it?
I have.
It's. Are you still working?
I'm still working.
I am also still working.
We are works in progress.
Yeah, because, you know, Jaquel, you know, right?
I know.
You know that I think I'm always right.
Oh, my goodness.
But I don't always think I'm right.
Yes. It's true. Oh, I know
No, I always think I'm right, but I don't think I'm always right. I said it wrong the first way.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Okay.
You know what?
I was wrong.
You're right. You're right. I don't need to be right in this situation.
Anyway, the point is that there is something, again, concerning pride.
Yes.
When you always have to be right.
And that's so strife in the relationship. Like, I think we all know people who are like that to the nth degree. And it's just like, okay, well, I guess we can't have an honest discussion or debate or dialogue about anything because it will always end with them having to be right.
Right. Because their concern is more about being right than strengthening the friendship.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, what's so ridiculous is that sometimes we're so concerned about being right about the stupidest things.
Yeah, dumb things.
Like, remember when we met for coffee last Tuesday? No, that was Wednesday. No, it was Tuesday. No, it was what?
Yeah.
Really? You know, so I really, I mean, this, okay, listen, people. This is, if you listen, heard nothing else in the podcast, this will make your life better. Don't always have to be right.
Yes.
Even when you know you're right, just let it go.
Exactly. Like, in one sense, you know, you can sacrifice for another person, all right? It sounds dramatic, but by allowing someone else to be right, especially if you know that you're right,
yeah,
is something that you can do for the sake of the relationship and will make your friendship stronger.
Yeah. So now the next thing, and this is kind of, is it a contrast? So we talked about a good friend is somebody who always tells the truth,
mm-hmm,
but a bad friend is someone who says whatever comes to mind
and no filter.
Exactly. And furthermore, somebody who's talking all the time and somebody who doesn't listen.
Yeah.
But again, back to Proverbs 11, verse 12, it says, a man of understanding remains silent.
Yeah.
Again, another tough one, right? No doubt. So, you know, be careful. Like, so when you walk into that room and you see somebody who's constantly talking and never stops for a second, I'm not saying, you know, that person is necessarily not a good friend, but, you know, you just might want to be on guard to somebody who's always speaking and never listening.
Yeah. And as you know, you've probably caught, like, it's interesting to me how much of what makes a good or bad friend is connected to what we say.
Exactly.
Like, words are the things that have such a massive influence.
So what you're saying, Jaquel, is that words matter?
Words matter. Words, yeah, somebody should have made a podcast matter about that.
They should have made they should have recorded an episode anyway. Yeah. An entire they probably should be an entire podcast committed to about our words.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of words and continuing along with things that a friend is also not someone who says only what they think somebody else wants to hear.
Yeah.
And again, this is the people-pleasing pride in me comes up. That would be the only reason that you say these things. You say extremely flattering things, or you say things specifically so that people will think well of you, or so that they'll like you and so that you can have a good feeling.
Yeah, next, a friend is not overbearing and does not overstay his or her welcome. So a friend wants to be together with somebody else, but also can be apart.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they don't, it's like their life doesn't hinge upon whether they're with that person or not. It's just somebody who is gentle and caring and not overbearing.
Exactly. And thus is not idolizing you because they can know that you're separate people and do not have to be overbearing.
Yeah. And then finally, I mean, a friend is not proud or quarrelsome. You know, we've talked about pride already, because pride is a complete focus on yourself, and it can be exhibited and demonstrated in many ways which we'll discuss on our episode coming up. But furthermore, a friend is not quarrelsome, so a friend seeks to have peace.
Yeah.
Between friends, between individuals. And so I got a quote from Charles Bridges. Great theologian, great commentator, wrote a commentary on Proverbs. And this is what he said. And this is something to consider as far as what kind of a friend you are and what kind of friend you're looking for. He says, look at yourself in the mirror of God's word. Does your neighbor or your friend find that you are a faithful friend? Do you often speak what you know will be accepted rather than what is true? Mm-hmm. Never underrate the importance of moral integrity. Never does godliness shine more brightly than when we are faithful in all things. So this just brings us to the last thing we want to deal with. When you find yourself in a situation with a friend,
mm-hmm,
somebody who's a true friend, where there is a quarrel.
Yes.
Or there's a rift.
A rift.
Rift. It's a rift. I want to call it a riff.
Well, you can look it up. But if you would like to be right, I'm happy to acknowledge that.
If you would stop talking so much, then I could respond and say, I wasn't saying I was right.
Oh.
I could be entirely wrong about this. I think a riff might be something to do with music. Like, you play a riff.
Yes, you play a little riff.
But there's a rift in a relationship.
There is.
Wow, I've really learned something today from you, Jaquel. You're a great friend.
Thank you, Bubs.
Thank you for speaking honestly to me about that. So, restoring a friendship. Now, there's a few things that need to happen. There's a few things that we need to know about restoring a friendship. And the first is that both of the friends have to want to restore that yes. relationship.
This is the most central point, because otherwise you will find yourself in this frustrating quagmire. I like that word. Quagmire. Because you get stuck. Because you can only go so far if you want restoration and the other person is not willing to come the other way. There is going to be a stalemate.
Yeah. And I mean, as a pastor, I have seen this repeatedly in so many different relationships, you know, whether it's a marriage, whether it's between a parent and a child, whether it's between friends. It is devastating when one party wants to so desperately restore that friendship and the other doesn't. So there's no question that both individuals have to be committed to restoring the friendship. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how badly you want that relationship restored. It's not going to be. So, I mean... You know, if you want to be friends with that person and they're not committed to it, you have to convince them to become committed to it. Otherwise, I mean, it's just not gonna go anywhere good.
And pray. Like, that's something you could consistently do is pray for reconciliation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the second thing is that, again, both individuals need to be committed to the restoration, but both individuals need to acknowledge and confess their sin.
Yeah, and this is something I was actually just recently reading about this, and they were talking about even in a situation where their fault is 90% and yours is only 10%, you still need to acknowledge your 10% because that still in some way contributed to the rift and will contribute to the mending and the reconciliation.
Yeah, there's no question. In every circumstance, you know the old phrase, it takes two to tango. Well, you don't like that? Do you know that phrase?
Yes, of course I know that
phrase. Or are
you
just laughing at me because I'm old again?
Well, no, no, no.
What do the kids say?
It sounded a little funny. It just, no. No.
What do the kids say? Come on.
I don't even know what the kids say.
You don't even know what they say?
I'm a person torn between two worlds right now.
You know what they say? They say, man, you made me big mad. And the other person goes, oh, grr.
Oh, my goodness.
And the other guy goes, yeet.
One video on how to talk Generation Z that you watched. We will forever be sorry about that.
But this issue is real. The struggle is real.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
I don't even know what's going to happen when you move out. Like, I'm just going to be stuck talking old.
As they say, it takes two to tango.
Oh, man. So bad. Oh, it's a good thing Travis is moving back home again for a little while so that he can keep me hip. Yeah. But I can never be hip. I just don't want to be hip.
You'll try.
I'm good at being not hip. But you have to acknowledge and confess your own sin. Yeah. And the other thing is that when somebody does something like it again, if it's a situation where the rift in the relationship is as a result of the other person. Mm-hmm. Say they've done something, they've hurt you, they've talked behind your back, whatever the case is, you still should stop and think first of your own sin, right? Like, you're going to interact with them on their sin, but you know, if you've got a log in your eye, you can't deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Yeah.
And now, once you deal with the, oh, I always got to emphasize, once you deal with the log, then you deal with the speck. You don't ignore the speck, but you do, you should first think about your own sin. And furthermore, like, say somebody gets angry at you. They get really mad. Like, say your friend is really mad at you because they think you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I totally didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you didn't, right? But maybe you should stop and think about, maybe there's some truth in what they're saying, even though you didn't really do anything wrong. You didn't have any ill motives, but it's a chance for self-introspection.
Yeah, exactly. I was recently given some good advice about the fact that criticism rarely comes in the form that it should be given. People rarely give criticism the right way, but it's still a great time to evaluate yourself. And this is, again, an act of humility we may want to talk about later, where you can just look at yourself and be like, you know what? I'm not an amazing person. I know that there is sin in my life. And so this is a great opportunity for me to think less of myself.
Man, that is one of the hardest parts of, I was thinking of being a pastor or being anybody who's in a very public role as a leader, when criticism cynicism comes, you just immediately want to defend yourself. Yeah. And it's like, no, you should, the first thing that you should do is look inside and consider whether there is sin. And then the last thing, again, all of these things require action on both sides. So, yeah. So both individuals need to be committed to restoration. Both need to consider their own sin. And then finally, both need to be seeking the good of the others and possibly even above their own good.
Yeah.
Like, we need to look out not only for our own interests, though we do look out for others, but also for the interests of others. So we've got to be seeking the good of the others, not being focused on ourselves, which again, brings us back to the issue of humility.
Yes.
So we got a good one coming up. So that's pretty much it. I don't really have anything more to say about friendship. Do you, Jaquel?
The only thing I would add is, because I just got so used to it of our emotion episodes.
How could I forget?
How could you forget?
How could I forget?
That when we talk about friendship, when we talk about what is a true friend, we have to come to the only perfect friend, which is Jesus.
Yeah. No, there's a few different ways. Few different things we need to look at in this regard. The first is that Jesus is the only perfect friend. Like, the scriptures talk about, you know, what a perfect friend is. We see in the Proverbs what a perfect friend is, but Jesus is the only perfect friend. You can't find a friend that is going to be a better friend than Jesus. And if you do, guess what? That friend is an idol.
What a friend we have in Jesus, Dad.
Hey, that is a great song. I don't care what anybody says. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And again, that first and foremost is talking about a friend, a real friend that's closer to you than a brother.
Yeah.
But Jesus is the only perfect friend. There is to be no one that you are closer to in a relationship than Jesus. So he's a perfect friend. He also provides for us the example of what a perfect friend is like. So if you want to know what kind of things that a perfect friend does, study the Gospels.
Yeah.
Look at how Jesus lived. But more importantly than that, he also took the measures necessary for us to be his friends. Mm. So when we were his enemies, he paid the price for our sins. He died in our place. He rose to give us life so that we could now be in a relationship with him and be able to be good friends to other people.
Yeah, and that's such a beautiful thing that it's like, if we have turned from our sins and trusted in Christ, we're now a disciple of Jesus that we talk about all the time, that we talk about that we're a slave of Christ, we're a servant of Christ, but also we are now a friend of Christ.
And there's no more important friend. I mean, and keep in mind, yes, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our ruler. Jesus is reigning over us. He is sovereign. He is authoritative. But do not minimize the fact that Jesus, if you have repented of your sins and trusted in Christ, Jesus has chosen you to be his friends. His friend. Listen to what John 15, verse 15 says. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, I love that verse, because that verse is talking about election.
Yeah.
It's talking about the fact that God chose you before you chose him. And what did he choose you to be? He chose you to be his friend.
And that, in Jesus, what a marvelous act of humility, that this creator of the universe came to earth to be friends with people. Like, to choose these sinful human beings and to not only be their Lord and Master, but to humble himself to be their friend.
Yeah, that is a great, great place to end. We've talked about what a good friend is, what a friend is not, how to restore a friendship, and Jesus, who is the ultimate friend. So let's end with my man, John Gill. He says, "To no one person can all this be applied with so much truth and exactness as to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend. Not of angels only, but of men, more especially of his church and people, of sinful men, of publicans and sinners, as appears by his calling them to repentance, by his receiving them, and by his coming into the world to save them. He loves them and loves them constantly." Thanks, Johnny. Love that guy. So good. All right, Jaquel, So, what can people do if they want to be our friends?
Well, that was good. I liked it. Right? They can head over to our website, agentminority.com. Join our email list. Always leave a comment or email us anytime at Sean at agentminority.com. They can follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Agent Minority. And if they really want to be our friends, a close friend, then they can head over to iTunes and leave us an honest 5-star rating and review with words of friendship and affirmation, telling us exactly what we want to hear.
You know, and tell your friends about us.
Tell your friends.
You know, the more the merrier.
About us. Come on in,
listen in. All right. So, Jaquel, until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.
Yes, it has.